That is a beautiful place to be, a place of desperation. We live too much of our lives not desperate and self-dependent. Those are beautiful times when we recognize how desperately we need God. I think it's a great place where our verses, the series ends in James. You can open up your Bibles to the book of James. James is right after Hebrews, before 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, right towards the end of the New Testament, if you're getting to know your way around God's Word. There's Bibles under the seat back in front of you there if you didn't bring one. Some people put it on their phones. Personally, I like to hear the rustle of pages. Because in my Bible, I can highlight things. I can underline things. I can note that, oh, this other verse talks about that, and my Bible becomes much more personal when I keep writing in it the things that God happens to be speaking about at those times. So, but anyway, power of prayer in us is our verse, is our sermon today. I can remember times when I knew that people were praying for me. Anybody have times like that where you're like, somebody's got to be praying for me because I don't know why I'm still moving forward here. I can think of my first pastor. I was an associate pastor at Calvary Missionary Church, and about a year and three quarters after I got there, the senior pastor resigned, and he had to take a sabbatical time for himself. And there I was. This was my first church. I was an associate pastor. I was just talking to somebody about this week. Within a month, we found out that the treasurer, there was a husband and wife team that did the treasury for the church, what Jerry does. But she had MS, and she was paralyzed from the neck down. And Jerry Kobernick, they used to be a part of this church before it was in this spot. Jerry was her primary 24/7 caregiver. And within a month after I began to be the pastor, there we found out that Jerry had prostate cancer. And he passed within 3 months. And I was very new, and that was challenging. To know, how do I minister to this family? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just figuring out how to do this pastor thing. I did computers for the last 20 years of my life. And you know what? People were praying for me and carried me through that time. I know it. I just know it. The family talked to me a number of times afterwards, thanking me for my ministry to them. I'm like, I'm glad something good happened because I was just doing the best I could, but there were people praying for me there. I remember later on after we got a pastor and I was back to being the youth pastor, and we were down to a youth group of three. We were up to like 40 plus kids that we were bussing in from a semi-urban area on the west side of Detroit. And I won't go into the story, but over the summertime, we ended up being with just three. And two of those three were my kids. God was with me. People were praying for me. And we grew that youth group into a wonderful, wonderful ministry. So there are times you just know that somebody's praying for you. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ. Each part is a part of the whole. Each person is a part of the family. Whether you're a finger or a little finger or an eye or an ear or a toe or a knee, whatever you are in the body, we all belong to each other. And when we're all concerned and all interdependent on each other, it's a beautiful thing. It's good to be prayed for by people in your family, isn't it? It's good to be missed. It's good when somebody calls you and says, I didn't see you in church the last couple of weeks. Everything okay? That's all of our job, all the parts of the body. We care for one another. And this is how James ends his letter to the church talking about this. We've been talking about, James, the whole book's talking about faith that what? It works, right? It does what it's supposed to do. When you put your faith in Jesus, he takes care of you, he gives you power, he gives you all that you need. It works, but it also, what else does it do? It works. Right? We do things. As believers, we work. We serve. We love one another. We go out of our way to serve and support. We work. Faith works, and faith works. That's what James has been talking about. And in this part of it, he also says faith prays. Faith prays. It's the power of prayer that we can have as we bless one another. Let's stand together as we go into the Word and we read the Word of God together. See what he has for you and for me today. Let's read together. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call on the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Lord, you have a simple but life-transforming word for us in this, a church-transforming word in this for us, a city-transforming word. A nation-transforming word is here for us. Lord, would you give us ears to hear and hearts that are willing to respond? We pray in Jesus' name and amen. You may be seated. What's the most important step in sharing your faith? Might be a surprise to you, but it is loving your church family. It's loving your church family. Think about this. Jesus gave us this word. A new command I give you. What? Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The telltale sign that I'm a follower of Jesus is how I treat you and how I love you. The telltale sign of if you are a follower of Jesus is how you treat me and everybody else. This is how they will know. And these are Jesus' words right out of his mouth. It's with love, and he talks later on in chapter 15, and unity with each other, that's how they'll know that Jesus is the one who sent us. Without love, without unity, guess who they don't see? Jesus. So you can do all of this you want, but if you're not loving your brothers and sisters, they're not going to know what you're talking about. You talk about love, you talk about forgiveness, but I see the way you talk about and treat your people at your church. That's not for me. That must be a waste of time. No thanks. But when they say, man, I see how those people care for each other and take care of each other, love each other, you know what they say? Yeah, I need some of that, right? I need some of that. So, love one another. That's what the faith family does. Help those in trouble. That's the body coming together and helping one another. This is what we're supposed to do. So important, such an important part of our of who we are. It's where we can go for help. It's where we can go for support. It's powerful. People, you'll find here people who will pray for you. Is prayer make a difference? Okay, look at all those people that say yes, they will pray for you. Isn't this a great place to be? You have people who will pray for you, people who know this book. How many people have been studying God's word to us? Let me see some hands. You've been in the word? Lots of people who have the wisdom of God for you. Wow. People who care. That's what you'll find here. People who pray, have wisdom, who will care about you. That's what the body is for. We're also a family that celebrates the joys of life. We celebrate new babies. We celebrate marriages. We celebrate graduations and significant, you know, things in our lives. We celebrate Super Bowls and have fun together. This is, the body of Christ is family. It's a great place to be. And it's a place where we gather around the hurting. Too often, we hide our hurt. But we don't have to. Because this is a place where those that love you will come around you in your hurt and support you and strengthen you and pray for you and walk alongside you. That's what the body does. Do we take advantage of that? Oh, we're it's here for the taking. Love in action. It is where we will experience the touch of somebody who cares. There's people that don't even, they're not used to touch because nobody ever loved them with touch. And they'll find a hug here. They'll find eyes that look at them and truly care. There's people that walk through this life and all they see when people, they talk about a problem is, people, eyes averted, they look at the clock, they're like, how can I get out of here? In the body of Christ, we look and we say, I care. I don't know if I can fix your problem, but I can walk alongside you and I can pray for you and support you. You know, sometimes that's all we need, right, is somebody that's just going to be there with us. Because I don't always have the solution for your problem and you don't always have the solution for mine. But we can walk through this together, right? This is where we pray for the healing and the help that's available for us. We have to recognize this is our identity. This is who we are as Christians. It's less the things I think. It's more the things I am. I am a child of God, and I am brothers and sisters with my family. This is who I am. This is not just some place I go. It is who I am as a believer. I am your family. You are my family. I am yours, God, set apart for you. It's my identity. It's who I am. And that's why we do what we do. We bear one another's burdens. We pray for one another. We support one another. And we're just there for each other. Which of these, as you look at this list, would you say, God, it's probably somewhere I'd like to grow in. I'd like to grow into being more a person that celebrates with people, or more of a person who gathers around those that are hurting. Which of those does God want to grow you in? Because he wants to. James goes on to say that the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, right? This is the prayer offered in faith. The prayer of someone that says, I'm coming to you, God, and I need your touch, and I need your healing. And that's a prayer that does what we did during communion. We confess our sins, and we pray for one another. Is this something we have to confess all of our sins to each other? Of course not. But there are sins that we need to go to somebody about when we've had an offense against somebody else. There are times when Scripture talks about a prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. There are times we just need to be with God's people and say, I need God's forgiveness in this area and that area, and we need accountability. And God does that through his people oftentimes. But when we come to God with that prayer of faith that cleanses our heart, just like we did during communion, if you go on to the next one, Wyatt, we find ourselves turning into something different. Because the word goes on to say that the prayer of a righteous person is what? It's powerful and effective. This is something that Samuel Chadwick, an author, you can tell he hasn't been around for a while, but sometimes these quotes from people that walk this stuff really are powerful. And it says, prayer turns ordinary mortals into men of power. It brings power, it brings fire, it brings rain, it brings life, it brings God. Prayer works. Prayer changes things. I think of some specific things that we have seen just recently. When we pray for each other, and we've our prayer in our church has become more specific, more intentional. Our house of prayer on Wednesday nights, we have gone to, rather than praying generally, the first Sunday, I believe, the first Wednesday, we're praying for our nation and our leaders, specifically praying for our president and our governor and our mayor and specific people. The second one is for, I remember the third and fourth one. I can't remember what it is. But we're praying specific ones. The third one, we pray specifically for our children's ministry. And we pray for our children by name. The fourth one, we pray for our teens and our young adults, and we pray for them all by name. And you know what we have seen over this last year? We lost all but, I think, three of our media booth people. We were in rough shape. God filled it up with people. We have a full team back there. Some of them are young people that hadn't served before. Wyatt's back there. Yeah. We've got a lot of our younger guys that are serving back there. God answered prayers. Our children's church, our director, Cindy Winter and John, they had moved and they did a lot of stuff in the church. She was our children's church director. Chris and Joe, they've had health problems and they weren't able to serve there. Our children's church was in a world of hurt. God filled up all the slots and brought together a strong team of people that are working together as a team, right? Our nursery we had lost our director and we didn't have anybody on the schedule. God filled up the schedule. We have a director and a full set of volunteers because we're praying specifically. We've been praying for youth workers. We now have a youth ministry team that's beginning to do events and activities, and new teachers coming in. God answers prayers. Amen? He does. Our forming study group that we're doing, we had teaching people how to listen to God and how to hear from Him. In the fall, we had 14 people that took it. Now we're in a group of about 9. And God's teaching us how to hear His voice. And God answers prayers. James went on to say that Elijah was, in some translations, a man. The NIV says, Elijah was just a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and what happened? Didn't rain for 3 years, 3.5 years. Again he prayed, heavens gave rain, and the produced crops. Elijah prayed. He prayed. What was Elijah? A human being, right? Anybody here that is not a human being? You're a human being, Wyatt, although sometimes I wonder. We're human beings, just like Elijah, right? We're not famous. We're not on stage somewhere. We're not some big personality. We're just human beings. And Elijah prayed earnestly. You know what that word earnestly means? It means he prayed. It literally means he prayed with prayer. But it was a Hebrew term that said he prayed with earnestness and conviction and fervency. He prayed. It was a prayer that acted. It wasn't just a prayer that he thought about and nodded when people said about prayer, but he prayed earnestly, persistently. It said again, after he prayed that the rain would stop, it stopped. It said again he prayed. Sound like somebody's teaching about praying and continuing to pray and continuing to pray? Who taught that? Yeah, that was Jesus. He said, just keep persistently coming in prayer. Come, ask, seek, knock, keep asking, keep seeking, and God moves. That's how Jesus taught us to do it. And it affected the miraculous. There was a drought, and then the drought was over. Prayer still does the miraculous. Amen? So, that human being that this verse is talking about, is that you all? Yeah. You can, I can. That what James was saying was Elijah was just a human being, even as we are, even as we all are. The only requirement it takes is faith. Can I pray powerful and effective prayers? And at some point in our lives, does God move us from lip service to miracles? It's an interesting statement. Somehow God stuck it in my noggin. Are we going to come to the place where God moves us from lip service to miracles? Does God want to do the miraculous? Does God want to save souls? Here in this church? Like one a year? I think maybe more. I think maybe a lot more. Does God want to save marriages? Does God want to set free the addicted? God wants to do all these things. He wants to do the miraculous. At some point, we have to move from knowing to believing. From, yes, I agree, God answers prayer, to actually showing up. Actually doing what I believe. Start with praying for that hurting spouse. Start with praying for that wandering child. Start with praying for that financial situation with a friend. Say, I need you to pray with me. We're going through some stuff. Could we pray together? Start with praying with a sick loved one. I'm going to pray with you for God to bring healing to you or to bring his comfort to you in the midst of your sickness. God is calling you to something today in his word. I will tell you that a part of you, as a part of me, has a tendency to want to shrink back. Yeah. To say, okay, I'm going to really, really believe that God answers prayer and does the miraculous. That means if I really believe that God will do the miraculous when I pray, that means I will have to actually pray. Or else it would seem pretty silly to say, yeah, this God does the miraculous, but I don't pray, right? Yep, God does miracles, but I don't really ask him for too many. At some point, we need to stop and say, no, I'm done with lip service. I want miracles. I want God doing what he says he's able to and wants to do. I want to stop talking about it. I want to start doing it and seeing it. And that's when we start showing up. This was God's word for us today. What am I going to do with this? If God truly does the miraculous, what am I going to do with that? You know what we do? We start a personal ministry of prayer. In your home, you start praying with your spouse. You start praying for your spouse. You start praying with your kids. You start praying when there's a need. You start praying. You start praying in the hallway. When I was a technician working at GM Powertrain in Ypsilanti, there were times when I was having a conversation with somebody. I said, let's go in the hallway and just take a minute and pray. And we prayed right in the hallway of General Motors. And there were times when people walked past. It's okay. It's good that they see us praying, because this is the normal Christian life, that we do this. We'll start praying on the phone. Man, it's just such things going on. Or, you know, you heard somebody at church or at work, and your family is going through a tough time. Hey, I just called. I heard about what's going on. Can I pray with you? Can I just take a minute and pray with you? At school, part of the body, we should see people praying around in the hallways all the time here. And we do. We see people praying here, and we should. We should see people praying at the altar, and we do. That's taking it and saying, I don't want to just talk about it. I want to do it, and I want to see the miracles that God promises. You might start showing up at Connect Group on Wednesday mornings at 10 o'clock. Group of 8, 10, 12 people pray every Wednesday, and we see God answering prayers. But their cap is 12. They don't want any more than 12 there. I'm glad some of you are laughing. We'll take 20, 30, 50. I don't care. I'd love to see more people show up. House of Prayer on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock. Boy, I can't always get there on Wednesdays. Just getting off of work. Okay. Do you believe that God answers prayer? And maybe you can't make it every Wednesday. You know what? I'm going to start coming. Even if it's once or twice a month, on my way home on Wednesdays, I'm going to stop and take an hour to pray together. I can do that. Because I believe that God performs the miraculous when God's people gather and cry out to him. You know what? I'm going to go to that once a month community prayer gathering. People are praying, and I want to see God answer in our nation. I'm worried for our nation. I'm worried for our community. And I'm going to pray. You know, we've got a brand new prayer calendar that's out there every month that Dorothy puts together. And we pray all of our names. A lot of people's names are all on there, and somebody different gets prayed for. And if your name's not on there, let Dorothy know, and she'll get it on there. Toot sweet. Seek God for the city. We're going to start praying together. There are ways that we can just begin to, as a family, as a part of the community, as Americans, just as human beings, to just pray for the things that we believe God wants to do. And God does the miraculous. I just want to, as we close, just take a moment, just I guess a little bit like we did in communion, and I want to give you the opportunity to be quiet and ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I pray and see the miraculous? I want to go and believe this and do it and see you act and see you work in ways that I've never experienced before, but I know you want to do. So what would you have me to do? Show me. Just take a moment, just you and God, and be quiet and ask him that question. And take a minute to listen. Thank you, Lord, for doing what you promised to do, and that's to speak to us when we ask. I want to encourage you, well, if you have a faith journal, that's what you write down. What was God telling me to do? If you don't have one, sorry, Jerry, grab an offering envelope and write down what God was calling you to do. And begin to look forward to the miraculous in your life. Because it will happen as you begin to pray and seek and ask and knock. You know what Luke 11 says? For God loves to give good gifts and the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Amen? That's his heart. So, Lord, thank you that as we have just listened and you spoke, and we begin to walk in what you have for us. Thank you, Lord, for the miraculous that we're going to begin to see more and more and more. This is not a one-time thing. We know that, Lord. This is something we want to seek, not as something to do, but as our Father God to seek after, as our Savior to worship and serve, and as the Holy Spirit just to be led by you. Lord, we want to walk with you in this so that we might draw closer to you and you might do more of what you want to do through your people. So thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for the miracles that you're beginning to bring on the way as we pray. All this we thank you for in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Believe it, walk in it. God bless you as you go today. See you tonight at 6 for the Super Bowl party, and we'll have